My guest at this time is Ray Comfort, accomplished author and television host. One of his most recent books is The Defender's Guide to Life's Toughest Questions. He's also the man behind the 180 movie, which we'll talk about a little bit later in our conversation. Mr. Comfort's book, The Defender's Guide to Life's Toughest Questions, equips Christians to be able to answer some of the most common questions, especially from a skeptical questioner that they often get as a result of having their faith questioned. And Ray, thank you very much for being with us.
Appreciate you having me on, Greg. Thank you.
Well, what gave you the idea that these questions needed to be kind of condensed into this one book?
We've got a new group of atheists that have evolved over the recent years that I call them the cut-and-paste atheists. There's guys like Richard Dawkins and others, Hitchens, who's no longer with us, who have formulated really nasty questions that can shake the faith of those Christians who are brought up in church and, you know, college students or anyone who really wants to share their faith. So the average unbeliever who's suddenly excited about instant pornography and gratification, sexual gratification, can get rid of moral responsibility by cutting and pasting the best arguments from atheist websites, sending them to mum and dad, sending them to the teacher, sending them to Christian school and saying, I no longer believe Christianity. And yet a lot of these so-called questions aren't questions at all, and they've got very, very simple answers. For instance, why is there suffering? Often people say there's no God because there's suffering. You can't trust the Bible. The Bible's not true because of suffering. Well, suffering is actually proof the Bible is true. Why are there earthquakes, floods, diseases, you know, famines, death, and tornadoes and hurricanes? It's because we live in a fallen creation. In the beginning, God created everything good, and it pleased him. There was no such thing as all these things. And so when we look at suffering, all it does is substantiate exactly what the Bible says. We live in a fallen creation, and the whole of creation groans and travail, waiting for a new heavens and a new earth. So we need not be fearful of these so-called hard questions because they have simple answers.
Now let's talk about a couple of the others that you deal with, and you just mentioned creation. One of the conventional wisdoms that folks will deal with, especially on campus, but also in the secular culture, is the idea that the creation as described in Genesis has supposedly been disproven by science. How do you go after that one?
There's an oxymoron. Evolution is science. That is an oxymoron. The only thing scientific about evolution is that it's science fiction. There's no scientific basis whatsoever for Darwinian theory, the theory of evolution, and I've talked to not hundreds but thousands of evolution believers. I've asked them for proof, and the best they've got is fossils, and there's no evidence of fossils. They just say, well, fossils. They believe what their professor has told them. And when it comes down to it, they have mutations or they have bacteria that have evolved into, believe it or not, bacteria. That's the best they've got. When you look at Genesis, it's totally sound. It reflects exactly what we see in creation. It reflects exactly what we see, what science says. There is, in every species, in every kind, every animal brings forth after its own kind. Nothing changes because God's created them like that. Not only that, but you see male and female in 1.4 million different species throughout the earth, and dogs and horses and cats and people and fish. Everything is male and female. You ask an evolutionist, why did evolution create male and female? What did it start with before there was male and female? Did we come from fish? When the fish crawled up onto the land, as you believe, did the fish have lungs or gills? And they've got no answer where these things came from. It's all something they believe. It's a theory. It comes from blind faith. And you can stand on the truth of Holy Scripture that God created male and female, and he pre-created every animal to bring forth after its own kind. You know, Greg, I saw, you may have seen this on the internet, but there was an email going around showing a sign that said this. It was from a Florida business. And the business had a sign out front that said, we would rather do business with 1,000 Al-Qaeda terrorists than with one single American soldier. When I saw that, I was angry. I thought, how un-American, how hateful, what evil people they are. And then I saw five words underneath that that changed everything for me. It just said, they are a funeral home. They would far rather bury 1,000 atheists than one American soldier. And that information changed things radically for me. And what this book does is put information in the hands of people that radically changes their beliefs, because that information is light to them, like in a dark world.
Ray, do you get the sense that the Christian beliefs, biblical beliefs, are under greater siege than ever, or has it been pretty rough for a long time?
No, it's under greater siege than ever, and there's a reason for it. That is, the more men are given to darkness, the more they're going to hate the light. When I was a kid, if I wanted a sexually explicit picture, I'd send a friend in to get a black and white newspaper that had pictures on the inside that were hidden from kids. Nowadays, kids can get hold of hardcore pornography on the internet, living color, in seconds. And so as they give themselves these sexual pleasures, they're going to hate the light. Same reason a criminal hates the police officer. He hates his badge. He hates his badge of authority. So we're seeing a huge attack on Christianity because it stands for moral absolutes. It says there is a God and says there is a judgment day and we're held morally accountable. And that's not a pleasant thought. So they want to get rid of the light so they can remain in the darkness.
So when folks use these explanations in this book and other biblical defenses for what they believe, given that hardness that you mentioned, do you expect them to have people respond in a positive way, or will they just resist all the more?
Mostly in a positive way, because what the book does is it teaches you how to circumnavigate the intellect and speak directly to the conscience. Evangelism is like fishing. You don't just drop a hook in the water because you're not going to get fish. You've got to put bait on there. So what I've done is given bait for the intellect, so it gets them nibbling, and I put a hook in there so it teaches you how to bring the fish in by addressing the conscience the same way that Jesus did. And this is the key to evangelism. If you stay in the intellect, you're going to get argument. It's called the carnal mind, and it's enmity against the law of God. But if you speak directly to the conscience bears witness. When you go through the Ten Commandments with someone and say, you know, it's wrong to steal and lie, and Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in the heart. Did you know that? The conscience bears witness, and once they understand their true state before God and that hell is a reality and they're heading for there and that God loves them enough to send a Savior to die for them and defeat death, then they'll often say, hey, thank you, I've never heard this put this way before. I really appreciate it. And that's what the book teaches you to do.
Let's move on now in our last minute or two here, Ray, to another issue that's at the heart of the cultural debate right now, and that's abortion. And you have spoken out on that for a long time, but one of the more recent tools that you've used is what's called the 180 movie, where in just a very brief period of time, you've been able to, on the street, confront people, ask them what they initially think about the issue of abortion, and in a very short period of time, appear to change their minds. So what is it that you can say or demonstrate so succinctly that's having such a profound effect?
Well, we're so excited because what actually happens is that same information principle. These people they've been brainwashed into thinking abortion is to do with a woman's choice. So I ask them one question that helps them to change their mind because they're given fresh information. You see it on screen with eight people changing their mind in a matter of seconds because of this one question. But the exciting thing is 180movie.com has had nearly 2 million views just in a three-month period. And when people watch it, they have the same mind-changing experience. So we're living in very uncertain times. We're living in a year where people are thinking about the issues, political issues, and I believe that we should have a man in the White House who is a godly man, who is pro-life. But I notice that we seem to be going around the last 40 years like a merry-go-round. You think about these social issues such as abortion, homosexuality, pornography, adultery, fornication, all these issues that are so important to us, we don't seem to be getting anywhere, and that's because the church is really going for the branch when it should be going for the root. And what the 180 movie does is it goes for the root. It not only talks about abortion, but it upholds the gospel of salvation. And what happens is when you change the heart of someone, you change their mind not only about the things of God, but about these social issues. When someone's converted, they become a new creature in Christ. Their likes and dislikes will be in line with God. So to put politics before the gospel is to put the carriages before the train. We need to put the train first, uphold the gospel, and then see the carriages of moral issues come into line with them.
It's just a short web video at 180movie.com. The book is The Defender's Guide to Life's Toughest Questions. And Ray, thank you very much for your time today. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you very much, Greg. Appreciate that.
Ray Comfort is an author and television host. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.